From Mendocino County Public Broadcasting, this is the KZYX News for Friday, November 1st. I'm Sarah Wright. By now, the urchin barrens off the Mendocino and Sonoma coast are a well-known example of how climate change has come home. The barrens have spread to Oregon, and maps show them occurring in Canada, Finland and Norway, Japan, and Tasmania, among other disparate locations. At last week's Ocean Life Symposium, Tristan McHugh, who loves red algae, spoke about where to find purple urchins, which love our native bull kelp. McHugh is also a research diver and the Northern California Regional Manager of ReefCheck, which trains citizen scientists to gather data about the nearshore ocean environment. She describes the zone we used to think of as a kelp forest as more like a fluctuating landscape, with the possibility of kelp forests or urchin barrens. Urchins are hard to love. They're prickly and they don't have faces, and they eat too much. After they've devoured the kelp, they wait in stasis while everything around them starves, ready to munch on any tiny piece of vegetation that appears. But they're not creepy space aliens. They're part of a complicated ecosystem that's been pummeled for years. I asked McHugh to elaborate. You talked about the urchin barrens, which recently spread to Oregon, and you shared a little bit of nuance tonight about the recruitment of urchins being adults when they showed up. So can you talk about some more of that nuance and where they came from and what we still have to learn about this issue?
Yeah, that's a great question. So basically, we saw in 2013, we saw this massive recruitment of urchins start occurring around the time we were also losing sea stars. So that's indicative of some other environmental variable that could have triggered the migration of these urchins from perhaps deeper waters. That's the leading theory right now, either deeper waters or in their cracks and crevices. And what we ended up seeing was them coming through, and they were already at the size of adults. So what that means is we didn't see this serendipitous sort of pulse recruitment event all of a sudden where all these babies were just starting to propagate around the same time as sea stars, but instead those adults had moved into the nearshore environment to which we actually recreate quite a bit, and we go scuba diving and we can actually see down there. So that's kind of the leading argument right now, is that these adults were the ones who came through during this widespread patchy recruitment event in the central coast of California up through the north coast of California as well.
So they're not new and they're not invasive. But you work really closely with the NOAA Center for Marine Sciences, and Sheila Siemens mentioned that we're now in another warm blob. And have we learned anything from the last warm blob? And are we doing anything differently this time around?
Well, we're taking it seriously, right? We're here talking about a secondary blob in a way that we didn't necessarily speak to it as strongly, or perhaps treat it with that sort of hard focused lens that we could have. And so I think looking forward, always, we're now keeping a very, very close tab on what our ocean is doing. Those are things that we've learned from, you know, the 2013 event when we started seeing sea stars disappear. That was like a crazy event for folks to think about that sort of widespread disease. And so as that relates to the warming of the blob, this time around, we're you know, looking at it very seriously. And even the way that we model it, I can't speak too much to the oceanography of it because that's not my area of study, but the way that folks were able to model the blob and study it surely resonates into the future as we think about these marine heat waves becoming more pervasive and frequent in the future.
And there was a note of optimism about the sea stars coming back, and it's a really specific kind of sea star. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So again, around 2013, we saw this massive die-off. Between 2013 and 2014, we lost a majority of our sea stars, over 90% of them, in subtidal or the underwater in nearshore environment. One star in particular, the sunflower star, Pycnopodia helianthoides, this really big 10-armed individual that just cruises around at record speed eating things, that one became ecologically vacant, gone out of the system. And while that may be the case in California waters, we've just recently started seeing some sea stars showing up in Southeast Alaska, as well as one of my diving colleagues, Jason Toy, and his dive buddy, Celine. They went out diving out of Malcolm Island, and they sent me, or it didn't send me, but I saw this photo of this incredibly large and healthy looking sea star. And so those sorts of sightings are happening. Whether that'll spread into California waters, we just have to keep diving and keep looking.
So can we count on some of the currents that you told us about to bring some of these healthy animals back into our waters to feed on some of these purple urchins?
That's certainly a possibility. Currents do have the ability to spread organisms all over the place. One thing, though, to consider is that sea star wasting syndrome, the disease that originally took out sea stars, is still present in the system. When I go diving with our divers, we often see sea stars with lacerations or symptoms of sea star wasting. And so that's something to consider always, is that that is not absent from the system anymore. And before we can really rely on the sea stars to fill the same role that they once had, if that happens, we need to consider that marine disease also becomes absent from the system.
For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Reif. For all our local news, with photos and more, visit kzyx.org.